Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, we got some offensive coordinator news with the Buccaneers. But first, I don't know if anybody caught this. If you were watching the Pro Bowl games, it's not the Pro Bowl game. That comes later this week, but it was the Pro Bowl games. And Baker Mayfield, his first Pro Bowl, wins the passing contest, which is not unexpected, I suppose. You know, Baker's a gamer, so what the heck. He said the last ball he threw was intercepted in Detroit. He had not picked up a football since. I think he's been in Key West, actually, for the last few days. I can imagine, you know, probably sampling the sodas down there. But Baker, being Baker, wins the passing contest. And now, you know, he was interviewed a little bit about losing Dave Canales. And, of course, you know, he said that, you know, that wasn't great. But really, you know, complimented the Buccaneers, their, you know, the franchise, their coaches, players, everybody for kind of helping him really, you know, kind of put his career back on strong footing. Did not sound like, and words are cheap, but did not sound like a guy looking to leave Tampa anytime soon. And of course, you know, the work's got to be done with the contract and things like that. But the fact that Canales is gone is not going to prevent him from wanting to stay. And it kind of felt that way, you know, that, he wasn't a guy that was talking about, yeah, I'm a free agent. You know, anybody need a quarterback? Oh, it was more about his team still being the Buccaneers. So we'll see. I mean, there's time, obviously, before we get to March. I don't know how soon they'll begin any kind of talks or negotiations. I do know this, though, is that the guys they have brought in, many of them have coached Baker Mayfield before. And, Steve, we saw Alex Van Pelt, who interviewed here, he went to the Patriots. And so that's one guy that the Bucs have interviewed that has now been taken off the board.
Yeah, he's at the Patriots. You're starting to see all these openings now get filled. Cliff Kingsbury's going to go to, what, the Raiders?
The Raiders, yeah.
Offensive coordinator. All the head coaching jobs now gone. Mike McDonald going to Seattle. Dan Quinn going to Washington.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
and they got to fill staffs,
yep.
You know.
But all these staffs are starting to fill up, which means the pool of candidates are getting smaller at this point, too.
And that's good because I want to get this going. And the Bucs have a lot of coaches to hire. Keith Armstrong, if you saw the story the other day, deciding to retire. I heard he was kind of going to retire. And in effect, I think he is leaving the franchise and hanging him up. Special teams coach has known Todd Bowles since they played together at Temple. So that's one spot. Obviously, we talked about Brad Idzik, the wide receivers coach, going with Canales to Carolina as their offensive coordinator, even though Canales will call the plays. You lost both offensive line coaches, if you will, in Gilbert and Harold Goodwin, you know, going to Charlotte with Dave Canales. So a lot of spots that have to be filled. And I think, of course, the biggest one is offensive coordinator. And a couple guys that came in from the Rams yesterday that I would say keep a really close eye on one of these, because one of them is the Kentucky offensive coordinator, Liam Cohen. Now, Liam Cohen was with Kentucky and then went to the Rams under Sean McVay, not last year, but the year before. It would have been, what, 2022. And they didn't have a great year. That was the year I think Stafford got hurt and they had a kind of a down year. And then there was some debate about whether, you know, McVay was going to come back or not. But then he went from the Rams back to Kentucky. So he's only with the Rams 1 year, but that was the year that Baker came in and played five games for the Rams at the end of the season. And Cohen was, you know, very instrumental in teaching him the offense and working with him while he was there in Los Angeles. So now he's back at Kentucky, but my understanding is he did not necessarily want to broadcast the fact that he was interviewing with the Bucs, because you've got consequences with players potentially transferring, different things, and I don't know what the college game, how it would be effective. But generally, if you're a college coach and you interview for a pro, an NFL job, it tells everybody and the recruits that you're not long for Kentucky, which is weird because this is the second time there in 3 years. But that said, I don't know if that'll have an influence or not. So you got Cohen, and then you have another interesting candidate is their passing game specialist, the Rams, Jake Peets. And Jake also was there when, you know, Baker Mayfield was out there. And so Jake has coached a lot of places, including LSU. I think he was there when I'm trying to think of local ties here. Brad Johnson's kids were at LSU at the time. You know, I think he had a chance to become maybe Nebraska's offensive coordinator a year ago and turned that down. So his family, he's I think his in-laws are up in Jacksonville, so it'd be closer to home for him. But I don't know. Like, both those interviews were yesterday, and I think Jake went first and then Cohen. But when I was listening, so Dave Canales was introduced in Carolina, and I was listening to his press conference, and he said, you know, it hasn't even been a year since I had an offensive coordinator job. And I thought, wow, not only did you make the meteoric leap from never having called a play to head coach, but you did it in less than a year. He was hired last February 18th. God help me if I've got 17 more days of this search for an offensive coordinator. I can't imagine it would go that long just because I think the candidates will start disappearing. The pool will get smaller and smaller. So I don't know what the Bucs' process is, if they're going to have second interviews, if they got more people that we don't know about that they would bring in to talk to. It's just kind of been like a daily, you know, update on their part and others. And I was able to get, you know, Pete's Cohen's information out there yesterday. But, you know, for the most part, you just kind of follow along. And according to my sources and different guys like this will give us who is interviewing today. And so, you know, I don't think it's going to matter to Baker ultimately because he's very adaptable. He's had a lot of offensive coordinators, a lot of systems. But if you can make some familiarity with your quarterback, that's a good thing. And Baker has familiarity, obviously, with the team and with the other coaches, some of the other coaches. A lot of offensive coaches are leaving. But that's why I think it would be important to have at least a face and maybe some. You know, the thing about the Rams is Shane Waldron was in Seattle, and he kind of adapted that Seattle offense the last year that Canales was there. And some of those principles made their way into Canales' offense when he got to Tampa. So there's probably some carryover in terms of philosophy, maybe terminology and stuff like that. So a lot of benefits to maybe hiring one of these Rams coaches. And they seem like they're dudes, right? Like, people want to talk to them. You know, I think that it's possible that Pete's, you know, may be coveted by Seattle and their new head coach. So, you know, these guys are going to get other interviews, not just the Bucks, and they're going to have perhaps some choices to make too. So, something to follow along. Hopefully, you know, they'll get it sooner than later. But in the meantime, Baker is over in Orlando, and he will participate in this weekend's Pro Bowl. I guess it's a flag game. You've got Peyton Manning coaching the AFC, Eli Manning coaching the NFC. Eli won last year. Peyton is like the dude that's drawing up plays and having practices and stuff, and Eli just kind of wings it, and it worked for him a year ago. But I think the NFC, like, just in the games part of it, when they're having all these different contests, I think they were winning pretty handily over the AFC last time I checked. So I don't know how they score, you know, all of these events and whether they factor into what ultimately is, you know, decided to by the winner of the football game. But it's just kind of a, you know, a relaxed atmosphere. It's great for the families. It's not Hawaii. There's not a football game, but I think they're doing the right thing by, because it had ceased to be a football game about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. No question about it. I mean, all these All-Star games are trying to change. The NHL All-Star games this weekend as well.
That's right.
The skills competition tonight, they've revamped that. Nikita Kucherov is participating in lots of those events tonight, from stick handling to shot accuracy to a bunch of others. He was also the number one overall pick in the NHL player draft for the All-Star
game. Wow, there you go.
He's on Team
Makes
Hughes.
Sense, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the others that may have been high, Austin Matthews was one of the team captains, as well as Nathan MacKinnon. So Cooch went number one overall to Team Hughes.
Yeah.
So that All-Star game is Saturday afternoon. Skills competition will be tonight.
Yeah, and it's kind of neat the way they do it. I mean, it's like 3-on-3, and they had the different divisions against the different divisions, and it's kind of a round-robin thing. It's fast, you know. Cooch obviously can do everything, so that doesn't surprise me that he's he was a high pick. So it's kind of – I mean, I'm okay with All-Star games, but I'm just okay with it. I don't think any of them are any good. The one that's closest resembles the game is the baseball All-Star game because I actually play baseball. And you can get up there and throw it, hit it, catch it, run, all that stuff. So it resembles the actual game. And you know, you got home run hitting derby and all that. But I do like the skills. Like I like watching just how precise these hockey players are when they start shooting at targets and stuff, breaking plates, whatever the hell it is they do. It's incredible how they can take a puck and rifle it from a distance. And just like be so precise in the various corners of the net, it's just something to watch. But I like All-Star games. I like the kind of the interviews in between. And Baker was interviewed by ESPN while they were doing kind of a long snapping contest. Which Andrew DiPaola, if you guys remember him, he was the Bucks long snapper. He helped the NFC win that one. He's now with the Vikings, so that was cool. Just kind of a fun weekend, loose weekend, and it used to be after the Super Bowl, so none of the Super Bowl players can be in this. So there's about 14 guys that can't participate, which is how – well, it's not how Baker got here. Baker got here because Dak Prescott said he was injured. So it's Jalen Hurts, Baker Mayfield, and let me think of who the other guy is. I can't remember off the top of my head. But Baker will get to play some, so that's cool. All right, this is cool. So we got part two of our conversation with Andy Freed coming up for you right now. But first,
for the past 14 years, the skilled pros of May Electric Solar have been installing solar energy systems in Florida. They provide the most reliable solar equipment, the best installation methods and service while helping homeowners cut their energy costs with an environmentally friendly investment. Now, May Electric Solar uses their own skilled employees, never subcontractors, and they've always offered the safest and most reliable equipment. Now, May Electric Solar offers a 30-year no-cost equipment replacement and labor warranty. That means for 30 years, May Electric Solar, backed by Solar Insure, means that your roof, electrical equipment, and replacement is covered. Solar Insure even survives May Electric Solar. It is owned by the homeowner with no deductibles or additional fees. Now, this policy will transfer to new homeowners with no fee. It's not a blanket insurance policy. In fact, only the best contractors are allowed to be part of its program. May Electric Solar's reputation and history of workmanship has earned them this membership. To learn more about May Electric Solar's installation and their 30-year warranty, call 727-819-2862 or visit mayelectricsolar.com. Well, Andy, the most important thing, like you said, is the defensive part of it and handling that pitching staff. And, it's going to be different. Obviously, no Shane McClanahan for the full season. Probably no Jeffrey Springs until sometime in July, Drew Rasmussen maybe in August. So it's always been built, right, on pitching and defense. And so what do you make of what's left of this rotation? How do they navigate this until some of the cavalry comes back as far as the starters go?
Well, I'll take it a step further, Rick, in that, we're hoping that Springs comes back at some point in July.
Good point.
We're hoping that Rasmussen can come back. But when you have these major arm surgeries, and I think we've probably, and I'm as guilty of it as anybody, take it for granted that, okay, they've had their Tommy John, and then they'll come back and be the same pitcher again. That's not always the case. A lot of times it takes some time. I can picture so many different guys that have had Tommy John, and in that year that they come back, they don't quite have what they had before, and then it takes another offseason and another ramping up and another months and months set of work to be the pitcher that you were before, if you can even do it. I've often said that even if you didn't have your arm sliced open and a tendon replaced or a ligament replaced, then you just haven't pitched for that long. So I just don't see it as an automatic that they'll come back and be as great as they were before. They certainly could. I'm not saying that they won't, but I'm saying that it's a challenge. It really is for those guys. And that to come back during the season within the middle of what we hope is some sort of a pennant race and pitch meaningful, important innings with pitch limits and innings limits. So that'll be a real interesting gauntlet to to walk. I think Eflin showed that he's a top of the rotation guy. I think he eclipsed everything that we could have even hoped from him last year. Just a brilliant, brilliant season for Zach Eflin. And I think he's a tremendous model for the young pitchers as well. The way he handles himself, just A-plus for him. Pepio, obviously curious to see. You know, Boz is going to be coming back. And he's another one that, you know, he should be full go from the beginning, but I would think there would be serious innings limits and pitch limits for him. Not to mention the fact that he's a pretty inexperienced pitcher at the big league level to begin with. And then you've got Taj Bradley, who certainly has a great arm, but let's be honest, he wouldn't have been in the big leagues when he was early last year had it not been for other injuries like Springs. So he still has a learning curve there, and I think there's a high upside. But you have to take your lumps with young pitching. It's just a very, very difficult thing to do. I think some of the guys that could be really interesting are the pitcher from Japan, who I know they want to have at some point in the mix. He's a non-roster player. Tyler Alexander, who the Rays got from the Tigers, they might be stretching him out. And Chris Davinsky, I've heard that they may be stretching him out a little bit. So those guys could be people to help fortify the rotation and be openers or guys that could go several innings. And I don't want to overlook Zach Littell. That's the guy that was one of the real unsung heroes from a year ago. I mean, he went from almost the last guy in the bullpen to a major important starter and probably would have been in there behind Savali in game three had they gotten it there. And I don't want to overlook Savali either. But so there's a lot of names in there, but I don't think there's a real definite on how it's all going to play out outside of Eflin being at the very top of the rotation.
Yeah, certainly different than a year ago. There is a strength, and when you talk about pitching, and it is their bullpen, I think, this year, Andy. I mean, with Pete Fairbanks, Jason Adam, and Colin Poche, Armstrong, Clevinger, I mean, Kevin Kelly, all these guys have pitched in high leverage situations and been successful if they can start and stay healthy. If you can get the ball to them in the sixth or seventh inning, you got a pretty good chance.
And you said it, if they stay healthy. I mean, that really is what it comes down to. If you notice, you know, Neil and I have pointed this out a lot the last couple of years, that the teams that win the World Series or win divisions and go deep into October, they're the healthiest teams.
Absolutely.
You know, the Astros a couple of years ago, they didn't lose anybody. They lost Michael Brantley and filled in for him with sluggers like Yordan Alvarez and Kyle Tucker and guys that are all-star caliber players. So they were very fortunate to stay healthy. That's what it comes down to. The winning teams are usually the teams that have their guys. You know, you have this plan at the beginning of the year on how things are going to go, but it seems like there's this natural attrition in baseball these days because so many pitchers blow out. To me, it seems like almost everybody blows out at some point now. And that's probably an oversimplification, but you never know when it's going to happen. You know, when Rasmussen got hurt, there was zero sign, and this is a two Tommy John guy, by the way, there was zero sign of that coming. He had pitched his best game of the year, one of his best games ever as a Ray, in New York against the Yankees, completely shut them down. And we find out the next day that his arm was hurt. And then he's out for the year and has to have another elbow procedure. So you don't see it coming sometimes. I think that's the next frontier in baseball. And I think that's what a lot of teams are working on, including the Rays, is injury prevention. And I don't think there is one answer to it, but I think teams are feverishly working on trying to figure out how to keep your guys healthy. Now, as far as the bullpen goes, you know, if Adam is healthy, he's great. Fairbanks, I saw, what was it, the top 10 closers in the league, I think, on MLB Network, and he wasn't in there. And I'm like, what? I mean, Pete Fairbanks, to me, is about as locked down a closer as you're going to get in the big leagues these days. I mean, and he may allow a base runner or two here, but the stuff is just electric. He handles the pressure well, and he's a guy, when he gets the lead in the ninth inning, I always think that the Rays are going to win. But I'm sure there will be some sort of injury along the way, and the Rays will need more fortification. If you've noticed, they've brought in a lot of pitching for spring training, and they'll probably go knee-deep into it again. I've come to the point now where I expect it. I'm not saying an individual here or there is definitely going to get hurt, but just in the general sense, you have to go into a season expecting that there will be injuries to your bullpen and important players along the way will have to be added.
We almost take for granted just how great they've been at overcoming those with the strength of their
minor leagues and trades and scouting and things like that. All right, I'm going to ask you about one more player, and then I want to maybe talk about some of the changes that we saw in baseball real quickly, and then maybe the American League East. But look, I have liked this guy. Last year, he kind of reminded me of a throwback. You don't see a lot of players hit for average, much less win a batting title. But he seems to be almost El Capitan on this Rays team, and that's Yandy Diaz. What a year. What a leader this guy is. He really seems to be the tone setter for this entire clubhouse, didn't he?
He had one of my favorite lines of the year when, you know, he was hitting home runs and he was doing all this stuff, but he's not a fast, you know, player. So
right.
He was asked, you know, what do you think about being the leadoff hitter for this team? And he goes, I'm not a leadoff hitter. I'm just first in line. And that to me made a lot of sense because he's not a leadoff. He's not what you think. He's not going to steal bases, and he doesn't do a lot of things that you'd think a prototypical leadoff hitter would do, but maybe that's old fashioned now. It used to be where your fastest guy was a leadoff guy, and then the guy that could hit at the right field was your second guy, and then your best overall hitter was third, and your best power hitter was fourth, and it was almost done by almost solved for you by the time the season came along. But now I think the trend in baseball is, and this has happened for the last several years, I think you bunch your best hitters at the top of the lineup and give them as many at-bats as possible. Just give them as many as you can. And Yandy is just a joy to be around. I really love that guy. I'm not saying because he's a great player. He is. But, you know, when you look at what Yandy's life has been, the escape from Cuba, the times that he had been caught trying to defect, and what he's been through in his life and hasn't seen his mom for so long. His relationship with his dad has been kind of under the radar, but that's been an interesting thing. And then they reunited last year after Yandy became a dad himself, which was such a beautiful thing to see. Yandy is just a really lovely person to be around. And you know, he walks in, he looks like he's straight out of the WWE. And then, you know, he's just a graceful, beautiful swing. And he can hit any kind of pitching. Those players are so valuable. If you've got a knuckleballer up there, he can hit that guy. If he's got a guy throwing 101, he can hit that kind of pitching. And last year, I think what really benefited him was signing the extension. He signed a three-year deal going into last season, and it seemed to me that that relaxed him. And he's like, okay, the next 3 years I'm set, and maybe I'll take some risks offensively. You know, the year prior, he really didn't hit that many home runs, and the ones that he did were ones to the opposite field. I think he took more chances early in the count last year to really let that strength show. And that's been a work in progress, not only since the Rays got him in 2019, but when he was in the minors with Cleveland as well, is to tap into that incredible power. And he just did it all last year. He won the batting title. He hit, I forgot, was it 14 or more than that home runs? I know he's into the teens. And he was just as, you know, to me, the leadoff hitter, when you're around a baseball team and your leadoff hitter is one of your best hitters, if not your best hitter, boy, that just, it's like it takes the rust off the team from day to day. You know, they used to say that the reason why the opener works so well for the Rays is that it's hard to hit 101 at 7 o'clock. You know, your first at bat, it's hard to hit that sort of velocity. You're not fully ready, maybe, but Yandy can do it. And to have a great leadoff hitter, and he is a great leadoff hitter. And I don't think even this offseason Yandy has gotten the accolades that he deserved. And I would have had him in top five in the MVP last year. The Rays without Yandy Diaz last year, who knows if they would have even won 90 games.
It's interesting you say the contract relaxed them. A lot of times that can go the other way, where guys feel and put a lot more pressure on themselves, and it was just the opposite with Yandy, and that smile just never left his face. It was great.
And he has it all the time. You know, he can put on that serious face when he wants to, but he has a very easy smile, and just getting on and off the bus and on the planes. I like speaking Spanish with him when I can. You know, my Spanish is broken at best, but he helps me with it like Willie Adames used to. I always appreciate that. And he'll help me come up with phrases. He's just a really cool guy to be around, and I like him an awful lot.
All right, so we saw changes in baseball, which I thought would benefit the Rays, and they probably did, right? Stolen bases were up in baseball. Defensively, if you have good athletes without the shift, that might play into your favor. So how do you think the Rays adapted to that? And just on the macro level, the pitch clock, I loved it. Did the pitchers adapt pretty quickly, or was it kind of a strain for them?
I think the minor league announcers that I know that I'm still in touch with, young guys and veteran guys that were there when I was there too, they said that you'll notice it in the beginning and you'll forget about it by May. And that's exactly what happened. I remember our first spring training broadcast last year was in Fort Myers, and Dave and I were rolling in. All I was thinking about was the pitch clock, and I was distracted by it because they had it up in Fort Myers, and I was just looking at it and going, okay, it's at 7, it's at 6. Oh, you better pitch now. And then you realize that was the wrong thing to do. It was new to me, but a lot of these young pitchers have been going through it for the last couple of years in the minors. So they've just, I think it had the effect that it was supposed to. It just kind of quickened things up. I don't know a person that said they didn't like it. I mean, I wasn't personally, Rick, clamoring for it, because to me, like, there was a baseball book that Thomas Boswell wrote. I think it was called Baseball When Time Stands Still, or Why Time Stands Still, something like that. And to me, that's always been the case. Like, to me, if it's a short game or a long game, if it's got a good pace or a slow pace, I hardly notice. Only when it's in an extreme in either way. If it's especially fast or especially slow, then all right, maybe I'll notice it. But generally, time is judged by innings in my warped baseball brain. So I didn't really notice it. I was always just kind of locked into the game. I will say, though, that as the year went on, I did notice it because it did seem like it was crisper. And to me, I'm still in love with watching old baseball games. I just enjoy it very much. And you see how the pace of it was a lot better in generations gone by. And I think that was something that was lost. So I think I learned about it as the year went on. And I think that, you know, baseball players are really, really good at adapting to things. So I think they adapted to it well. And we didn't have that moment in the postseason where an umpire ends up having to make this uncomfortable call because a pitcher took too much time and it decided a game. None of that happened. None of the doomsday happened at all. And I think generally it was pretty well accepted. You know, funny you bring up the overshifts. It still seemed to me like while it wasn't as egregious as it used to be, where you'd have sometimes four or five guys, if you include the outfielder, on the right side of the diamond, the shortstops for a left-hand hitter or a second baseman for a right-hand hitter were still almost up the middle. So
yeah, that's true.
To me, it was more of a gradual kind of a soft thing where, all right, well, maybe that would have been a hit. Maybe it wouldn't have been a hit. But I didn't really think about it after a long time. But I'm sure many of the pull hitters around the league liked it. I'm sure they did. I'm sure many of the pitchers are like, man, why can't we bring it back?
Right, the left-handed guys especially. Right. All right, we'll get you out on this, and I appreciate the time, obviously. But so the American League East is always going to be that division, right, in baseball. And the team you grew up with, the Baltimore Orioles, had an unbelievable year and unbelievable closers as well. But I would imagine that, and I haven't looked at a single baseball magazine, so I can't tell you who's favored. The Yankees are always going to be the Yankees. So, and Toronto, obviously, you know, is dangerous in their own right. This going to be just another battle royale for the Rays to continue to stay on top as they have every single year to make the postseason.
The Rays will do well if those young players do well. And then, and if not, then there will be holes all around. But I have faith in them. Because this is what they've done so many times. I mean, they've been able to turn over the roster and get players that are major league ready. You know, there's a reason why the Rays don't rush players through the minor leagues. They just don't. That's why bringing up Caminero was so shocking, because they never make a move like that. I think it was out of necessity and because he could be so impressive. But, you know, if Meade and Aranda and do their thing, and if Pinto ends up being a plus catcher, and if Lowe can return with that kind of year, and Yandy and a Rosarena and Siri and Lau, you know, they've got a pretty good group, I think. Again, I mean, I don't know if they'll win 99. I never expect, you know, a 100-win season. If you go in expecting that, that's setting yourself up for a fail, because most teams, even great ones, don't get to 100. But I see the division as tight once again. I think the Orioles have had a really sluggish offseason. I thought they were going to I thought they were going to get Snell or Montgomery, and they still could, but I can't imagine how the Orioles don't get a left-hander with left-handers out there, by the way, to be signed. How do you not in that ballpark? That ballpark has changed so dramatically, and you really can't tell until you're there. You know, when you see how deep that left field is, to me, if you're a left-handed pitcher, every pitcher would want to sign there. And I'm shocked that the Orioles haven't done that yet. So they've had the only real change that the Orioles have made is adding Kimbrel, who is a solid reliever, of course, and they don't have Batista. And he, to me, I would have given Batista some MVP votes. He was that good.
Absolutely.
As a closer. The Yankees, to me, are probably a little bit better offensively, maybe more than I'm giving them credit for. Soto and Judge together will be an excellent combination. Soto gets on base and is a great hitter in his own right, and Judge is also a great hitter. Outside of that, I still see a fair amount of outs in that lineup. The Red Sox have probably depleted. They seem to be not investing in their big league group right now. The sleeping giant in the division is the Toronto Blue Jays, and I've thought that for years. I'm surprised. Every year there's always some reason why they get sucked down in the division, why they don't seem to ascend to where they should ascend. And, you know, they've kind of wasted these prime years of Bo Bichette and Vlad Guerrero. Those are two really, really stud players. And they've got excellent pitching, and they fortified their bullpen last year. They've got a really good closer. There always seems to be some and they got better defensively, by the way. So I don't know what – every year there's something with the Blue Jays. So to me, they're the sleeping giant. And if I had to guess, I at some point they're going to end up being as good as they should be. But to me, it's every team is quality. And the Rays will probably be right there in the mix. At least I hope so. And the Orioles will be good, and the Blue Jays will be good. But there's still enough time left, Rick, in the off season before opening day to see where some of those pitchers sign. If the Orioles get Montgomery or Snell or one of those other left-handers out there, I think they probably deserve to be the favorites in the division after winning 101 a year ago.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I think there's still moves to be made by a number of teams, and who knows, maybe the Rays too, but I think you're right. I think they are going to let their youth develop, and certainly they have a lot of outstanding players. Andy, it is always a pleasure. I know you have a busy schedule and a lot of games ahead of you and all of that, but to spend this time, we really do appreciate it. And I just wanted to end on this real quickly, and that is we all miss Dave Wills, obviously. You and Neil did such a great job last year and talking about Dave and keeping him in our broadcast, in our hearts, our minds. I'm thrilled that he's going into the Rays Hall of Fame, and I think that will be a special day as well.
Oh, of course. Last year, Rick, I mean, I look back now, and gosh, it really does seem like the year was a blur. I probably didn't appreciate things when they were happening as much because I was grieving for my buddy, and I don't know. I think I got to learn how to get better at it. It still affects me quite a bit, and you know, I had lost a best friend at the beginning of COVID back in 2020, my best friend in life, and I still haven't really figured out how to deal with that. And then Dave, that happened, and it's just, you know, as you get older, you got to learn how to grieve, and I think I probably need some help with that because I think about him all the time. I still dream about him, and I wish he was here, but. Sure. He's not, and I have a great time with Neil, and like Dave and I always said in the booth, we're going to lead the league in fun, and we will every year win or lose, and Neil and I invite everyone to be a part of the fun that we do. And I'm glad we have Chris Adams-Wall with us doing pre and post, a really outstanding young broadcaster, and just fits in so well. So as I told Dave's wife, Dave's going to be with us forever. He's not going anywhere, but of course, we miss him on a daily basis.
Well, we sure do, and we are thrilled that you are back for like you said, time flies, 20th season, both on the play-by-play on radio, and we see you on TV as well. You've been there much as well last season. So have a great year, Andy. I can't wait to turn on that radio, and it just says Rays Baseball when I hear your voice, and it is a thrill for so many of us. Especially me. I'm much older, obviously, but I grew up without baseball in Tampa Bay for so many years as a kid. And I can just imagine, and my son, who was at the age when the Rays were starting to win the World Series, he became a baseball fan, and now he's much older, obviously. But I'm telling you, what you do is a dream, and it is something that that sinks into the fabric of all of us that love baseball, and we love listening to you, and it just wakens us up, and we can't wait to hear you on the call again.
Well, it's a one. It's amazing how fast it's suddenly upon us, and it's going to be here. And as I tell Mark Topkin all the time, and I tell you the same thing. I mean, when I was growing up, I knew who all the columnists and all the writers were around the league. And you know, you are older than me, but to me, the writers were always like the rock stars. So when I get a chance to talk to you. I'm really, really appreciative that you'll want to talk to me. So well, I'm here whenever.
We appreciate it. And it is a thrill for me. And have a great season, a great call, as they say, always. And thanks so much, Andy. We appreciate it.
Sounds great. Come by the booth sometime.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Man, I'm telling you, I could talk baseball with Andy pretty much for the rest of my life because I just love the game so much. I'm serious. Like, when I was growing up, Steve, we didn't have baseball in Florida, major league team, obviously. And so the closest one was the Atlanta Braves, as you would know.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a pretty strong signal. And I think even at one point, I think one of the local channels carried Braves baseball. We used to listen, you know, this is back in the end of Hank Aaron days. And it was, I think it was Milo Hamilton, I believe, was the broadcaster at that time for mm-hmm. the Braves.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the soundtrack of my summer. You know, I'd go to bed, turn the radio on, let's catch a few innings. Sometimes, you know, I'd have buddies over on the weekends. You try to listen to them on the West Coast or somewhere. And so I'm just imagining these, if there are kids, hopefully they do this. I don't know, you know, these days, who knows how they listen by their phones or whatever they do. But hopefully there's a whole generation of people who have only heard Andy's voice covering Rays baseball. And I think that's cool. You know, like, I think that's like, they're going to grow up saying, oh yeah, that voice right there means it's baseball.
Well, you know, I grew up in West Central Northwest Ohio. Marty and Joe.
Marty and Joe.
Ernie Harwell. You know, I mean, you just go through. It was, you know, guys that were doing play-by-play for, you know, my whole childhood. It was the same voice all the time. I mean, for those guys.
Yeah. And that's the way it was. Ralph Kiner was in with the Mets, I think. And, you know, of course, go all the way out to, you know, Vin Scully and all that. And, it was like that. Joe Buck and, you know, not Joe Buck, mm-hmm. but his father.
Jack.
So, yeah, it's just – that's always said baseball to me, and you knew what team was which announcer based on those tones. Mm-hmm. But Andy's that sound for me now because it's been 20 years. I mean, it's gone by really quick. Mm-hmm. But I think that would be a neat thing to have, like, as you walk through life. It's kind of like, hey, man, I know that voice. That's the voice of the Rays, you know? Anyway, it's great having him. Great talking baseball with him. So what do we got this weekend? Of course, we got the All-Star Games, the NHL All-Star Game, the Pro Bowl, as we mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm. And we have some condolences to Chris Godwin with the loss of his father.
Yeah, I saw that on Instagram. He wrote a very nice note. If you follow Instagram, go on there and check it out. I also put it on Twitter. You know, Chris is one of those people that I will never forget. As long, you know, as I remember doing what I did, it could be 20 years from now, God willing, I'm still around. And I will remember guys like Chris Godwin because he was so impressive from the time he walked in. He felt like, even though he was like all of, I don't know, 23 years old, but it felt like he had been in the NFL for 10 years. Like, that's kind of how he carries himself. So he wrote this terrific tribute to his dad, and who used to call him half man, half monster, the manster. Used to call Chris that, and he's just, you can tell by how he describes his father and how supportive he was, why Chris is who he is. And I'm sure he has, you know, two great parents and great family and all that, but, you know, very sad to lose your father, at such a young age. And so, you know, our condolences are with him and his family. But he said, he goes, you know, it's the more you love, the bigger the hurt. But, you know, that just means that you love somebody as much as you did. And it's just a beautifully written tribute to him. So check that out if you want to go on Twitter at NFL Stroud. Or if you follow him on Instagram, you can see the tribute there as well. So with that, I hope you guys have a terrific weekend. Enjoy all the All-Star games. We'll be back to talk to you about them on Monday. For Steve Burstyn, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.